I'd like to welcome each and every individual to Mastermind Partnerships. Hi, my name is Kevin King. I'll be your facilitator for this call. Over 60 and Loving Life, Special Edition, Dimensional Marriage. And if you do have any questions, feel free to contact the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. Again, that's 888-230-2300, or if you're calling in outside the U.S., you can reach our U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. We're going to jump right in. Wow, last week was spectacular. I hope you were on for the call. If you were not, then please get the recording and listen to it. It's outstanding. Will had shared some really interesting things about having an attitude of yes toward his wife and what he thinks is an outstanding dimensional marriage. He starts with an attitude of yes. Carefully to what his wife has to say. And three, he expresses appreciation. I think it's a really lovely way to start off. The other thing that we started with was, you know, in marriage, chances are we're going to have children. Maybe, maybe not. But if we do, whatever challenges we have to deal with, we need to, one, agree on the results, and two, we need to have agreement in how we'd like to present that information. So again, we want to agree, husband and wife, on what we'd like the results to be, and we have to have agreement on how to present it. How do we do that? Two things are real important. One, ask questions, and two, if we're talking to our kids or our spouse, ask for help from them. Don't try and re-engineer the child's thinking or your spouse's thinking. It doesn't matter because it ain't going to happen. It just won't. Now, some of the questions that we can ask, so if there's a concern, we can say, you know, Mom and I agree on something here, but we may be wrong here. Maybe you could give us some insights here. We're not quite sure how to present. Maybe you could help us. Things like that to get buy-in from the child. We know what the results we'd like to see, but here's our concerns. You lay out the concerns and say, do you feel that our concerns are justified? And then just say, well, can we agree on the results we want? And then one of the other key questions is, do you recognize what we may be up against? And these are some of the ways that we can just really have amazing dimensional marriages. I'm excited for the call. I'm going to open it up. Alan Stein from Tanglewood Conservatories, welcome to the call.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Alan. You are welcome. Hey, just wanted to get your thoughts in terms of dealing with challenges. Any thoughts or on that, or maybe you'd like to bring up a question on what you'd like to accomplish today?
Yeah, I've got a bunch of things, but I was when you were talking about having children, I was in a marriage where my wife had a couple of children from a previous marriage. And boy, you talk about challenges there, because if you're not the dad, the natural dad, that was, and I suspect that could be the cause of fatal, you know, marital conflict in a lot of relationships that where people go into that. So I don't know if you had any thoughts or helpful suggestions to people in that situation.
Wow. Well, I've never been in that situation. We're just going to open up the lines. Has anyone ever been in that situation where you're in a marriage where you have children from, where the spouse you've married has children from another marriage?
Well, there's times that Roseanne and I look at each other and say, where did these children come from? Does that, you know, that count or not?
I didn't mean coming from, you know, neither of you. I get that.
I mean, we've said they're not my child. She's like, they're not my child. I don't know where they're coming from. That is, in my opinion, Alan. That's another. You talk about a dimension.
Wow.
That is just, you got to take your parenting skills to a whole another dimension. The thing that kind of triggers it for me is one of the things that I've been working on a lot is roles. And in coaching, personal and professional, what is our role? And so often I think a lot of times where we get into issues is we don't understand what our roles are. We're playing a role we shouldn't play. And so, like with my parents, I think, and they've said it too publicly, where they've had a hard time transitioning from parent into grandparent. And so they have disciplined some of their, when the kid, young grandkids were younger, they physically spanked, you know, or disciplined the grandkids. And when the grandkids, you know, went home, the grandkids expressed their displeasure about being disciplined physically or otherwise at Grandpa and Grandma Borsma's. The brothers, the boys of Grandpa and myself and my three brothers are like, well, did you do something wrong? Yeah. Okay, well then guess what? You're going to be disciplined. And so none of the brothers had issues with it. It's like, hey, poor choices, poor consequences, really simple. Make better choices next time. I would have to say that sometimes the wives of the sons were not quite as understanding or supportive of that perspective. And so I think my parents had challenges where it's like as a grandparent, when you discipline a child, it's a very different role and it has a lot bigger impact. And so I think that in answer to your question, Alan, there's not as much room to make an error. And so it's like, what do you, you know, let's say a husband is not the biological, you know, of the child. And so what are non-negotiables? In my house, when I'm here in my house, the house I'm living in, these are things that are non-negotiable. I mean, you know, just not going to allow this to happen. And can we all agree to that? Can the wife agree? Can the kids agree? You know, do we all agree? And then making it to where it's very clear, you're not going to take a knife and you're not going to go ahead and stab somebody. Okay, that's not. You know, swearing, is that acceptable? I mean, what? So I think, Alan, getting out in front of situations and anticipating what's going to happen before it happens, and so everybody agrees this is what's going to occur. If you make this choice, this is what's going to occur. And then having everyone's buy-in and maybe an assigned contract on what it is, and then understanding that I don't have the role as a biological dad. I just don't. And then the parents have to be a lot smarter. The parents have to be a lot smarter because the kids will manipulate it to get what they want. And so not only the husband and wife, but the birth father, if he's still involved in their life, he's got to be smart too, because the kids, one 7-year-old boy will outsmart three adults in a heartbeat. You were going to share something, Alan?
Yeah. I was thinking of a situation where the non-biological parent. I tell you what, go ahead. Let me come back to it.
Okay. Angel, your thoughts or questions or insights? On anything.
Well, it's hard for me to understand where you guys come from because I don't have children of my own yet, but I don't really want to switch the subject, but I do have a question regarding, like, challenges with kids. I don't know if you guys want to stay on the same subject.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure, go ahead.
What I was wondering is, you know, like down the road when me and my husband have children, I've noticed, like, within my own family and other families too, there tends to be, like, a permanent status on both parents, one being the good cop and the other being the bad cop. And And I know that has to happen in situations, but I was wondering if you guys had any advice on how to make that more even, balanced, I guess, so it's not always, like, the mom that's the good cop or the dad that's the bad cop. So, like, that the kids, I don't know, like, there's a both from each side. Do you know what I'm asking? Does that make sense?
I totally know what you're asking. Big time. Yeah, that one I can address with total understanding. I'm a driver analytic, okay, so I was definitely the bad cop with the kids, and I was okay with that role. You know, it's fine. You don't like me. I'm not here to – I don't get paid to be liked. You know, I'm your dad. So I was the bad cop, and that role worked for me. Rosanna Moore of the amiable – expresses some amiable analytics. She was a good cop, and she was fine with that role. Up until we had probably two or three teenagers, when we had three teenagers, it became too big of a role for me, and I just got exhausted. And I said to Rosanna, "Honey, I can't handle being the bad cop. I just can't." And it was a struggle. It's still a struggle, you know, even 27 years after having kids. It's still a struggle for her to go ahead and play the role of the bad cop. She just, I can think of once that she went ahead in 27 years of kids, once that she really told them something that they had to do that they didn't want to do. And so typically the driver is going to be the bad cop or the analytic, one or the other. Typically the amiable and the expressive are going to be the good cop. I think if you have a wife, a mother, who's a driver, more driver personality, it's harder for her to play that role than it is for a man. So I think it's harder for a driver female to play the role of bad cop than it is for a man to play the role of a bad cop. My guess is you're going to have a fair amount of energy because the driver personality is going to also see the future. And so what you're doing is you're seeing the future before you even have children and saying, "I'm going to be the bad cop and I don't want that role all the time." And that's really wise of you. But that's going to be probably a significant source of a lot of frustration for mm-hmm. you, for your whole marriage.
Yeah.
And so mm-hmm. part of it is an acceptance that you may have an easier time playing that role. Part of it is getting out in front of it like you're doing now. And having your husband understand that he's going to have to play that role, even if he doesn't like it, even if he's not comfortable with it, even if he doesn't see it. And it's hard because they don't even see it. I mean, they're just like, you can't hit something that you can't see unless you trust somebody to give you guidance. And, you know, so having your husband listen to this might help because what's strange is as the kids get older, in many, if not most situations, the kids will go ahead and give more honor and will love the parent who is the bad cop more.
Yeah.
And so what will happen is that will create bitterness in the amiable because for 10, 20, 30 years, they were always so nice to the kids. It's like, why do you not like me and respect me? Why are you mistreating me? Why do you go to your mom or your dad, whoever the good bad cop is? How come you go to them with all the trouble? How come you do? And so the amiable or the expressive will often, the good cop, will often be bitter to the kids and to the parent because they don't understand why their kids don't love them deeply as deeply as the bad cop. And it's like kids love they hate boundaries, but they know they need them. And as they get older, they'll value them more, and they'll realize, you know, my dad or whoever it is, my mom, they didn't really like this. They didn't like doing it. They did it out of love and discipline for me. And they will just absolutely fall in love with the bad cop later on in life. But having a conversation, Angel, with your husband to go through this, I think is really good. Get out in front of it. Start to practice it on other kids, on family members, on other people, because it's the same thing. You know, somebody says, hey, can you come over? Can you come to our place for, you know, the holidays? And often the good cop will go ahead and the good cop will say, oh, let me check with my spouse. And the bad cop will say, no, we're not going over. And so the bad cop, the one that tends to have that more of propensity, might go ahead and not say, fine, no, we'll come over. I mean, I'm not going to do your dirty work. I'm not going to do the amiable often knows the right thing to do and the hard thing to do. But what they do is they know that the driver will do the messy work. And so they just allow the driver to do the messy work. And the driver doesn't allow the amiable to go ahead and develop their skills. Rosanna, do you have a counterpoint on that?
Well, yeah, I'm not going to be defensive in this one. So, yeah, it's pretty much about what he said.
If you have a difference of opinion, a difference of opinion is not defensiveness. And so you're not defending your position. It's okay to have a difference of opinion. So if you have a difference of opinion, you can say, well, I see things in a little different way, and then you can share how you see it. If you're defending why you are the way you are, okay, people will probably realize, oh, she's just defensive. But if you're going to see things probably that I don't see or see things from a different perspective than what I see, and that's important for other people to hear that perspective.
Okay. So amiables will balance out the drivers, because a lot of times the drivers will see things in a harder way than the amiables, and they won't always see the good part of it. That would be one thought. Another one is that it's nice to use the driver's God-given abilities to go ahead when it is tough to say no. To allow them to say no. That's what they're built for. So I sometimes will tell the kid, and I think Mark has told the kids at times, you know, if you cannot say no, you can use me as a bad guy. So all the time, but you can use me as a bad guy. And so sometimes it's like, well, it's questionable. It's, you know, maybe not quite such a great deal. So using, you know, the driver's God-given abilities to say no, that's not a bad thing. But I guess, you know, us amiables have to strengthen up sometimes and just do it. When we do it, because we don't do it so often, the kids really will, like, wow, yeah, I guess it's not a good idea. Mom says no or dad says no, whoever's the amiable at the time, and they're not used to that. So then they're like, you know, wow, okay, well, I guess we'll go ahead and follow that then. So, just some thoughts.
So do you know, Rosanna, like when you use the driver personality, do you know when you Do you know how you can tell if you're overusing the driver for the bad cop?
When you know in your heart that it's got to be a no, and you're like, I'm too wimpy to say no.
Okay, that's when it's gone to the extreme. There's another manifestation that you'll see.
And that's the one where they say, you know what, I don't care what you do. What they really do, but they just are tired of saying no. So they'll say, well, it's your decision to make this time. So.
Okay. Actually, it's when the kids go ahead and say to you, like, it really is your decision. When it really is your decision and you've made the decision and the kids, and you make the decision and the kids come back and say, it's not really your decision, Mom, it's Dad's decision. You're like, no, it really is mine. And they're like, no, it's not. It's, you know, you've overused the bad cop when you do make a decision and the kids are so, like, they're so blown away that you'd say anything at all to cause them any discomfort. And then they would go ahead and say that to you. You know that probably for a number of years you've overused that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The other thing, Angel, that the amiable, like the amiable has a massive amount of confidence. Some might call it arrogance, but a tremendous amount of confidence that they know how to treat people, and the expressive and the driver and the amiable or analytical do not. And so the amiable will often, with a good heart, try to balance out the driver, but there are times when a situation requires the full force of the driver, and so the amiable tries to mitigate, you know, say, you know, they're just being too hard on the person. And sometimes the driver is, but sometimes the amiable is just controlling the relation, controlling all kinds of relationships. And they can bring hurt to themselves and other people. Does that make sense, Angel?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And in most situations, my experience, my interpretation of my experience is they don't know that. They're unaware. Like, they don't even know that they are totally manipulating, and nobody else knows. The driver doesn't know, and the expressive, like, no, and even the amiable. The amiable controls relationships in the most wild way, and it's just been in the last 5 years probably that I've recognized that. I'm like, oh, my gracious. They're totally controlling all these different relationships, often to the good, but there are times to the negative, to the harm of themselves and other people. Teresa, what would you like to accomplish today?
Well, sorry, I joined a little late. It sounds like this one's mostly on children today, right?
Not necessarily.
We want it.
Not from 30,000 feet. Kevin's been practicing 30,000 feet a lot lately, and he's getting better at it. So he's actually using this to, like, when we're talking children, it's really not children from 30,000 feet. It's really all about human development. Nice work, Kevin.
Thanks.
Anything you'd like to accomplish, Teresa?
I guess just like trying to take your discussion outside even to include other personalities, and like if you have a switch of good cop, bad cop, and different differing opinions on discipline or house rules, because there could be a really strong relationship or partnership with a core driver, a core amiable, but if you have some other different energies going on. I guess I was just trying to listen to that as if there were other personalities playing in there and how that could adjust if you're bouncing around the quadrant a little bit more.
Sure. The parent, like the expressive personality, the that personality is going to be a really fun parent to have, generally speaking. They're going to have fun. They're going to play with their kids. They think they're doing it for their kids, but often they're really doing it for themselves. They just love playing games. They love playing with the kids and enjoying it. And so that's good. I mean, that will forge, you know, certain levels of relationship, types of relationships with kids and with other people. And then the analytic personality will go ahead and tend to be a little bit more standoffish, not go deep, not want to talk about relationships or connections or those types of things. Rosanna, what would you like to accomplish today?
Just in general, you say 30,000 feet. Are you talking about that we can deal with this relationship, you know, that we can practice this on people other than children or maybe people who are actually childlike?
Interesting.
Yes.
Nice. Well done.
Alan, what would you like to accomplish today?
I'm taking all this in and thinking about my situation. Actually, I've had two marriages where I have not been the biological parent, and one marriage where my spouse is not the biological parent. And I know that from, it's very complicated because the guilt of not, you know, it makes it much harder to accentuates the amiable quality. You know, I feel really guilty. I didn't do a great job as a parent. Marriage split up. You know, how much pain did I cause my kid? And then, you know, and then the amiable can really step in and, you know, try to make things nice and everything. I see that.
Yeah, and I think, Alan, you know, on guilt, there's good guilt, you know, and bad guilt. And good guilt is guilt that we have that we should have. And I think to change, you know, our present and our future. I think bad guilt is guilt that we, you know, shouldn't have, that we do. And I think when we have bad guilt, I think it takes away from good guilt. I do. I think it takes away energy. And so, you know, my younger brother says he does not know how much of, you know, influence a parent has on their children. And I mean, there are some things that, you know, Roseanne and I think did very much by the book. I mean, it's like, yeah, certain things, not everything. We were not perfect parents, but there were some things we really did by the book that have not seemed to work so well with more than one of our children. And so, you know, I think looking at that and saying, well, what's good guilt? And then what's bad guilt? And then how does that impact me today and going forward? Does that make sense, Alan?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah. So if you're listening to the rebroadcast of this, you can go to dnaforsuccess.com. That's dnaforsuccess.com. And then in the lower right-hand corner, you'll see Mastermind Groups, and then scroll down to Over 60 and Loving Life, and then join the discussion. And you can get a rebroadcast of this, and, you know, it'll be linked into that. You can share it with other people, have other discussion. If they're not able to sit in on the live session, they can go through the rebroadcast of it, and then think about, you know, how we can help other people. Kevin, any other closing thoughts?
No, that's great, and really appreciate everybody being on the
on the call today. If you do have any questions about the material, as Mark said in today's session, you can call the individual that invited you to participate. Go online, check out the information we have. You can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. Or if you're calling in outside the U.S., you can call the U.S. base number, and here it is, 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. God bless and have an amazing day. Bye-bye.